God is good. There is no question about that. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. And praise the Lord. That is a blessing. Well, we forgot to introduce the pilgrims. We do have some pilgrims back here. There they are back there in their... boy, it's good to have you folks. Now, from what year do you come? 1492. Yeah, I'm not real sure about that. But anyway, praise the Lord. You know, the Baileys all these years, you know, the pilgrim outfits for the bus ministry you know, they're not going to let cancer get in the way of what they do. Amen. They're just going to keep doing what God wants them to do. And I'll tell you, they would tell you God's good. He is good. Well, it is Thanksgiving season. It's Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's not Turkey Day. It's Thanksgiving. And it should be Thanksgiving every day, really. And Psalm 100 is certainly all about praising God, all about thanking the Lord. You know, you think of God used David to write the Psalms. And David, he knew heartache. He knew sorrow. He knew tears over and over. Not only because of people out to get him, but his own sin. You know, so much of David's heartache and sorrow and problems was his own sin. And yet... God chose him to be the psalmist, to write the psalms, so many of the psalms, and this one, just praising the Lord. And, you know, he inhabits the praises of Israel. I love that verse, and I've used it really kind of as a theme verse to just keep praising the Lord, because I want him inhabiting wherever I am. So if he inhabits praise, then I'm going to praise him. I want him there, amen? And some of you, you know, honestly, it would change your whole outlook of life if you just praise the Lord. Years ago in Bible school, as a freshman, I had a fellow tell me, gave me a quote. I don't know where he got the quote. I don't think it was his own quote, but he said to me, "Outlook determines outcome," and that is true so many times. And I told our Sunday school class, you know, you come to Thanksgiving, you say, "Oh, woe is me, everything's bad." Come on, there is so much we can praise the Lord for and we can thank God for. And I'm going to give you some things today that will help you. I've entitled the message from Psalm 100, right out of verse 4, "Be thankful unto Him." Be thankful unto Him. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching today. Thank you for the music. Thank you for just helping us to get everything done this weekend, all the activities, the teen activity yesterday in the middle of a snowstorm. And we just thank you, God, that you kept people safe and folks were able to do what they were supposed to do. And then we could gather together today just again to be thankful unto you and to bless your name. And I pray we'll do that today, that we'll be honest with you. We'll make any decisions we need to make. But Lord, especially I pray we'll have a heart of gratitude by the end of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 100, again, all about praising God. Verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." He is God. Thursday will be Turkey Day. You hear it more and more. I'm hearing, you know, seeing advertising, Turkey Day, Turkey. Well, they're the turkeys, to be honest with you. Thank God that He is God. But again, that's one of the reasons why so many have gotten away from thanking God that He's God. Because Satan has filled so many people with a lie that God's not God. Notice what else it says here. It says, to know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. That's all part of the devil's lie too, the lie of evolution, to get us to somehow think we did something. You know, somehow we wiggled our way out of the mud and the slime of some creek somewhere, or creek, and we wiggled our way out of that thing and crawled up on the bank and grew arms and legs and became human, you know. How ridiculous, how foolish it is. That's why in praising the Lord, know ye the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. The lie of evolution and humanism has totally been part of the lie that's keeping us from praising the Lord. It's part of the lie that keeps us from being thankful unto Him. And it's so clear in the Bible to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? He's good. He's so good. He's so good to every one of us. I want to give you some things. I'm not going to tell you how many things, but I'm going to give you some things we can really, every day we can thank him for. Everybody here, if you're saved, now if you're not saved, the wonderful thing about it is by the end of this service, you can be saved. It's not a matter of being a Baptist. It's not a matter of us going through a list of all the things you have to do and you don't have to do. You know what? It's a matter of you coming to Jesus Christ. It's a matter of you saying, I've sinned against you and I need your forgiveness and I'm claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. However you word that, I pray that you'll save my soul. He'll save you today. He really will. And then you can praise him for these things that I want to talk to you about. Number one, thankful. I am thankful for, and it says be thankful unto him. Be thankful for a Savior. Amen. Be thankful for a Savior. Let's look, if you will, at Luke 2. You say, Christmas? Oh, no. Yes, it's coming. Luke 2. You know, I'm not going to let the advertisers and everything beat me to it. Bless God. Actually, they already did. But Luke 2 and verse 11. Keep your place in Psalm 100, but Luke 2. And verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, what's it say? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey, that little baby in a manger, and anymore, you can't even talk about that. You can talk about big fat snowman. You can talk about the big fat dude in the red suit. You can talk about the Rudolph and all that other junk. But you can't even hardly anymore talk about Jesus. But anyone who does talk about him, understand, he's not just a little babe in a manger. He's a Savior. He's a Savior, which is Christ. Christ being the anointed one or the Messiah. He's Christ the Lord. Amen. And he's a Savior. And the Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. What are they doing? Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Those aren't just songs we sing. Those aren't just stories we tell. That happened. Why? Because of the Savior. Because God sent a Savior. It goes on in chapter 2, and we meet a fellow named Simeon in verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He said, we're putting my funeral on hold until I see the Lord's Christ. Isn't that something? And God made that very clear to him. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, Mary and Joseph, when they brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and what did he do? He blessed God. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen what? Thy salvation. How in the world did it ever become that somehow we could save ourselves? When we find out from the word of God, he sent a Savior. He sent a Savior. He wouldn't have had to send a Savior if we could save ourselves. Well, not only Simeon, and not only the angels praise the Lord, but then Anna, the Bible says in verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age. That means she was well over 57. And she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This isn't somebody that was just playing religion. This is somebody that walked with God. And she coming in that instant gave thanks. You see it? She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What's that? When she saw the baby Jesus, she knew this is the Savior. He's the Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus, the Savior, he left heaven's glory. He lived a perfect life. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Why? So he could be our Savior. Don't take it lightly. Don't just say it. Don't do it as a religious ritual. Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Savior. The Savior of mankind. He is the sacrifice. He is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can join a church. You can join this church. You can get baptized till your skin wrinkles up like a raisin. You can do all kinds of good works, and none of those things will get you to heaven. Only one way. That is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. Keep your place. There in Psalms. I'm going fast because I see what's in front of me. You don't. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, talking about Jesus, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Fruit is a result, and the result of a heart full of gratitude is to praise God. Amen. The heart, the result, the fruit of my heart that is full today of the thankfulness that God sent His Son to die for me. I'll tell you what, all I can do is praise Him. That's what we should do. Let's not gripe and complain about the weather. Let's not gripe and complain about work. Let's not gripe and complain about the traffic. Let's not gripe and complain about anything today. Let's just rejoice continually, it says in Hebrews, because God provided a Savior. It says in Psalm, back in Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord Jesus, know ye that He is God. Know ye that He suffered. Know ye that He died. Don't wonder about it. Don't guess about it. Know it. Know that He died on the cross for you. Amen. Know it today. Know that if you were the only person on the face of this earth, He would have come. He would have lived a perfect life. He would have suffered on a cross, and He would have died for you. Know it. Know ye. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You're here today without Jesus Christ. You're here today, you maybe you're religious. Maybe you're a nice person. Maybe you do good works. Maybe you've gone through confirmations and catechisms and all kinds of classes and all that. Listen to me. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying none of those things can get you to heaven. God did not send a Savior to us to sit by and watch while people work their way to heaven. God sent a Savior to save. He Himself said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking you today. If you're not saved, He'll save you today. You need to be saved. It's the only way. That's why the devil has fought it so much. And I love what, on Wednesday night, we were at First Baptist Church in Hammond, and I love what Brother Wilkerson said. He said, "You know, the devil fights it with Xmas." Xmas. I've preached many messages about that. But he said, isn't it interesting? There's no X-ween. There's no 4th of X. Are you listening? There's no Valenex day. Huh? Devil hates Christ. He hates anointed one. He hates Messiah. Why? Because those are saying, there's a Savior. Man can be saved. Man can be redeemed. Man can go to heaven. Why? Because of the Savior. Don't you be an ingrate when it comes to salvation. Don't show a lack of thankfulness. Psalm 27, verse 1. The psalmist, again, over and over and over, bursts out in praise to the Lord. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who is? The Lord. The Lord is not the Baptist church, not any church, not any denomination, not any good works. It is the Lord. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, listen to me. Be thankful unto Him for a Savior. Number two, be thankful unto Him for salvation. Well, that's why the Savior came, for our salvation. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Keep your place in Psalm 100, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. We're thankful for a Savior. You can't come up with anything to thank God for? Well, you can thank the Lord for a Savior. Number two, thank the Lord for our salvation. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Wait a minute, I was in the wrong place. It says, thanks be unto God for what? His unspeakable gift. What's that? The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Now, you know, we're asking for a lot of gifts, and people are asking everybody now, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? My wife always says, oh, I'm the easiest person to buy for. And yet, we all, myself, my two children, they all say, what are we going to get you? What can we get you? Oh, I'm the easiest person. You know, one year we got her a potato chipper, and she took it back. And long, deep story. But anyway, you know, so if there's something you could ask for today, if there's something that you really would want today, wouldn't it be eternal life? Amen. Come on, I mean, they've been looking for the fountain of youth all these years, and we who have the brown spots and the wrinkles, we'd like to find that thing, wouldn't we? I mean, they're advertising all these, you know, use this and it'll wipe away your wrinkles, and use that and it'll take away the brown spots, and do all this and you'll feel great and all these things. Listen to me. How about this? How about eternal life? How about eternal life, which is opposed to death and hell? How about that? That'll work, won't it? Amen. That's what God offers. Shouldn't we be thankful for our salvation? Shouldn't we be thankful for eternal life? Here's those who have been not thankful. That's when you kind of forget where you came from. You take it for granted, right? Well, you know, I've been saved for a long time, but do you remember where you came from? Here, let me give you an idea where he came from. Just back, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And there are many, many illustrations, but here's a good one. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Here's one of those lists. You know, we talk about those lists in the Bible. Ooh, that's a bad list. Well, look what it says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we all say, wow, that's a nasty list. Boy, that's bad stuff. We need to stay away. And look what it says. And such were some of you. That's me? Oh yeah, look, that's the mirror right there. That's us. That's us. Amen. But look what it says. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Only God can wash away thievery and covetousness and drunkenness and fornication. Only God can wash away adultery and idolatry and being effeminate. Only God can wash away our sins so that we can be whiter than the snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Oh, listen to me. You don't have anything, thank God, for today? How about your salvation? Salvation. But see, we forget where we came from. We forget the pit we were pulled out of. We forget the rock that we were cut out of. We forget the slime that we were in. Thank God for his salvation. I'll talk a little more about that tonight. Are you saved today? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior today? If you're saved, are you thankful? Amen. Are you thankful? Maybe you came in with a bad attitude and griping. Hey, listen to me. You can't beat salvation. You can't beat it. In our text back in Psalm 100, that's why I keep telling you, stay there. For the Lord is good, his mercy. See it? His mercy is everlasting. You know, you ever think about that? You know, when I was little and my parents forgave me for something, or they said they did, and they said, well, you know, we're not going to deal with this now, maybe whatever reason, you know? And they'd say that. But always in the back of my mind, Brother Korea, I'd think, I wonder if they're going to remember that thing. Because it was pretty bad. It was my sister's fault, but it was bad. And you know, I wonder if that, listen to me, God says, my mercy is everlasting. Amen. I'm talking about 1,000 years from now, he's not going to bring up any of that junk. I'm talking about 10,000 years from now, he isn't going to bring up any of that junk. I'm talking about when I'm out there in my lake of chocolate and I'm enjoying it and I'm literally having a wonderful time and I'm eating Butterfingers, amen, and I'm in my lake of chocolate and I'm enjoying myself and just praising the Lord. He's not going to show up and say, hey, by the way, I remember back when you... Never. Amen. Why? Because his mercy is everlasting. Amen. Be thankful unto him, number one, because of our Savior. Number two, because of our salvation. How about this? Number three, be thankful unto him because of the Scriptures. Because this is what told me. That's how I know. It's how I know. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. See, I come from the old school where I like instructions. Amen. We older folks, we like instructions. We like something to tell us, okay, here's what you need to do. This is how you do it. Many times I'll talk to Dave, even Tim. I'll talk to them. They do all my computer stuff. And I'll say, okay, where does it tell me how to do this? Dave just laughs. Dad, you just do it a couple times and you'll learn. Tim, pretty much the same. I said, how do you know how to do that? Well, I just did it a couple times. And I want instructions. I want somebody to tell me this is what you do. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord knew that. Because he told us. Exactly. Why do you suppose the devil hates this book? Why do you suppose there's so much confusion in our world today with all the different versions and everything else trying to confuse people and cause people to doubt? Oh, listen. Today, let's thank God for the Scriptures. You know, I have right here, I have the Word of God. I even have it in big letters so I can see it. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. It is. I don't have to wear reading glasses because this is big. Somebody says, boy, your Bible, it's huge. Yeah, isn't that great? Hey, I'm glad I can still lift it. You know, one of these days I'll have to put it on a cart and wheel it. That's all right. But I have it. Do you understand? I don't just have this, Brother Livermore. I've got a bunch of them. We have a bookstore with them. If you need one, we'll get you one. We can give our bus kids, all the bus, we can give them a Bible. We give our shepherds Bibles. Amen. We can just pass out Bibles all the time. There's nobody going to stop us. Isn't that wonderful? Why, it's the Word of God. It tells people how they can know they're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? In verse 3, he says, know ye. How do I know? These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. He's written it so we can know. We don't have to wonder. We know because his word says so. Ye may know that ye have eternal life. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of God's words, his law, it's perfect. That's how my soul can be converted. You know why? Because when I see the perfect law, I find out I broke it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you may think you're a good person today, and you are probably a good person, but you've broken his law. Everybody in this room has at one time or another, we've broken his law. It tells us we broke his law. I remember we moved here, and I give this illustration all the time. It's one of the most unique experiences. Dave came to visit from college, and he parked his car in front of our house over here on College Avenue. And he parked his car, and the next morning there was a little ticket on his car. Wasn't that something? And when we asked about it, they said, well, it's the law. You can't park overnight on the streets in Adrian. I said, really? Yeah, it's a law. I said, well, where's it written so we would know it? I said, every entrance coming into Adrian, there's a sign that gives that law. You say, what'd you do? I went and looked. Guess what? There is. You say, do you think that's fit? Doesn't matter what I think. That's the law. And it is posted. You can read it. You know what? If you read your Bible, you're going to find out you're a sinner. That's right. Amen. But that doesn't have to ruin your day. Because that's why our Savior came. He came to pay the price for our sin. The psalmist said this. He said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. In Psalm 100, back there again, verse 5, it says, his truth endureth to all generations. So there I am in my chocolate lake 10,000 years from now, and I'm floating there in my chocolate lake, enjoying myself, eating a Butterfinger, and maybe it flashed across the screen that is somewhere out there by my chocolate lake. I can see the Word of God. Because guess what? It'll be there. And it's always been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's always been, and it always will be. And that scripture, it's that law. So never in that 10,000th year on my chocolate lake, do you understand? Nobody will ever be able to come and say, hey, you're not safe. Because all I have to do is point to the law that says, oh, yes, I am. Because he wrote it down. And it says so. Amen. Look, here's the fourth thing. You say, how many of these are? I'm not telling you. But here's something else. You run out of things to praise God for. You run out of something to thank God for. You're letting all the bad junk outweigh all the good things. I'm trying to give you some ammo here. Amen? Amen. Number one is our Savior. Number two is our salvation. Number three, be thankful unto Him because of the Scriptures. Number four, how about this? Be thankful unto Him because of His supply. By the way, you start to wonder about that. Look in your cabinets when you go home. Look in your refrigerator when you go home. Well, I haven't done my shopping yet. Yeah, but look in your bank account and you know you're going to do your shopping. Hello. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Psalm 100 verse 5. The Lord is good. Brother Dave sang about it a while ago. God is so good. He's been good to me. Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 19, He daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. We get all bent out of shape. Oh, everything's going bad. Well, what'd you get today? He had a benefit for you. Something. Amen. Did you live today? When you woke up, did you? Hey, wake up tomorrow morning, check your pulse. You don't have anything to praise God for? Praise God, it's still ticking. You say, what if it's not? Praise God, you're in heaven. Unless you're not. But you can take care of that. Yes, He takes care of us. Paul said this, he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't have to rely on Chinese money. Some of you will get that later on. You know what? My God. When did Paul write that? Paul, that's right. He was in his resort. Kicked back, right? Kicked back in his recliner, watching the basketball game, right? Drinking sweet tea and eating Doritos. Is that what he was doing? Was he sitting at a table with pork chop? Well, no, it wouldn't be pork chops. Sitting at the table with bacon and eggs? Well, minus the bacon, unless it was chicken bacon. What in the world are they thinking? You cannot make bacon out of... Anyway, but what was he doing? Oh, he was in jail, wasn't he? Yeah, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. And he was in jail getting his needs met. Are you listening to me? You say, well, it couldn't have been pleasant. He didn't say it's always going to be pleasant. But he said, take care of you. Take care of you. Glory to God. You say, preacher, you sound excited. Number one, I'm glad I have a voice this week. And number two, I'm glad I have a Savior that takes care of me. Amen. I can testify to it. He takes care of me. By the way, it's according to His riches. It's not according to the bank. It's not according to the interest rates. It's not geared by the prime rate and all that. It's just according to His riches. And His streets are paved with gold. And He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That's T-bone after T-bone after T-bone. And meat on it. Glory to God. We have so much. So much. To God be the glory. Amen. Because of His supply. How about this? Number five. Some might not agree with this. Be thankful unto Him for His service. We can serve Him. Amen. He provides something. Notice what it says back in Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with... Preacher wanted me to do something. Yeah, I praise the Lord. Brother Livermore, I called him last night. We were in the middle of chaos. We had all kinds of chaos going on. It was so exciting. You know, the ministry is exciting. Chaos is fun when it's over. And I mean, I get on the phone, call Brother Livermore, and I had something I needed him to do in the middle of the snowstorm, and it wasn't sit there and twiddle his thumbs. You know, it was, hey, Brother Livermore, can you help me? Somebody needs help. And he did. No hesitation. It was like, preacher, what can I do? Amen. And boy, he's out there in the snow and the blizzard, the raging, the wind and the storm and tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, fire, everything. And he served the Lord. And I think he actually looked at it like, this is such a wonderful thing to be able to serve God. You used to feel that way. Oh, it's so wonderful to serve God. Serve the Lord with gladness, to be able to teach Sunday school, to be able to work on a bus route, to be able to drive a bus, to be able to serve God somehow. Wow, isn't that great? Isn't that great to be able to serve God? And there's the Baileys back there in their pilgrim outfits, just doing their part. Amen. What a privilege to serve him. Why? He's the King of Kings. Who do you want to serve? You know, you were excited when you got hired by Ford or Chrysler or Chevrolet or wherever it is you work. You were so excited to be able to work. When I got on at RCA when I was 18 years old, it was one of the best jobs in the whole city, and I was excited about that thing. But I got news for you. Working for whoever your boss is, or was, is nothing compared to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why I can't even understand why the position hadn't been filled yet on Friday nights for the RU program. I just can't even understand it. I don't get it. But, wow, an opportunity to serve him. Look real quick, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. I am on the back page. I'm at the top of it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. I'm going to start preaching hard here in a minute. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus. Here's Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Who hath enabled me. Now here's what I read in this thing. I read, who hath enabled me, the scum, the slime of the earth, who I thank my God who would even reach down and pull me up out of that slime and set my feet on a solid rock. But it's not just that. He lets me serve him. Who hath enabled me for that he counted me, faithful, putting me into the ministry. God lets me serve him. That's what Paul said. You know what? Our Lord Jesus took the cup of suffering. He willingly took the cup of suffering as a servant. And when he took that cup of suffering to serve you and I, he gave thanks. Read it. He gave thanks.
I'm getting tired of doing all this in the church. I'm getting tired of all the...
Man, you need an attitude adjustment to where you praise God, you can serve. Daniel knew if he prayed, he would be thrown into the lion's den. He knew it. He had no idea that those hungry, hungry lions were going to keep their mouths closed when he came in. He had no idea that. What's the Bible say he did when he knew he was going to be thrown into the lion's den if he prayed? He prayed and gave thanks. Oh God, help me taste good to those lions. I pray that none of them get indigestion, though it wouldn't be too bad for them. Lord, I pray that it won't be too tough when... Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Can you imagine that? Yeah, Jesus... When he knew what he was going to do in service, Daniel, he knew what he was going to do. You know what? You and I, we may, in our service to him, we may sacrifice. We may even suffer for whatever we do. We may have some hardship, but it's a privilege because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Run out of things to thank him for? How about the Savior, salvation, the Scriptures, his supply, service. Number six, how about this? Be thankful unto him for his strength. His strength. Back to Psalm 27. Keep your place in Psalm 100. Psalm 27 and verse 1. His strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the what? Strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is the strength of my life. I can thank him for that. Praise the Lord. I'm sure glad he's the strength. Psalm 121 verse 2. Keep your place in Psalm 100. Psalm 121 verse 2. Look what it says. As soon as I get my page to turn. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. You know, seems like he'd be a pretty good helper, wouldn't he, if he made heaven and earth? Heaven's big. It's rather large. Seems like the one who made it and the one who made the earth, he could be a big help to you. He's my strength. Over to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. If you can't turn to all these, just write them down. Look at them later. The Bereans studied the scriptures daily to see that it was so. Let's be like that. Let's do that ourselves. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. The Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's in my weakness. Amen. It's his strength. How'd you make it? In his strength. No matter what it is, no matter how bad, no matter how tough it is, how'd you make it? In his strength. Certainly not in my strength, but in his strength. You know what? I can make it. And Paul said that. He said, you know what? I can make it in his strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know how you can make it today? You can make it in his strength. And if you do make it, how about doing this? Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for your strength. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Amen. It's his strength. It's not my strength. He's a great physician. Amen. He knows how to take care of wounds. Glory to God. You say, I just been beat up all my life. Don't know how I'm going to make it. How about letting him unbeat you? Amen. He'll do it. He's the strength. Number seven. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Be thankful unto him because of the satisfaction he provides. Psalm 103, verse 5. Satisfaction. You know, the world's looking for that. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Oh, yeah. Brother Dale Stewart brought me pumpkin pizza. Really? I'm serious. He served it to the teens last night, and they lived, I can tell. And pumpkin cake. And I got to figure out a way to work that into the calories. It'll work right into the calories. But it says here, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Satisfaction. Isn't it good to be satisfied? It's so good to have that satisfaction. The world it tries drugs, tries alcohol, tries sex, tries money, tries pleasure, all those kind of things to get the satisfaction that only God can provide. World's looking. You may be here today and you say, I'm looking. I didn't think it was going to be this way. I didn't know I'd have to bow my knee. I didn't know I'd have to pray and ask Jesus to forgive me. I didn't realize. I thought I'd have to do some great thing. You sound like old Naaman the leper, right? Jesus already did a great thing. Amen. What you need to do is bow down before him and call on him to save your soul. There is satisfaction. Real quick, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. We're close. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Where? In his presence. Amen. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. You know, satisfaction. When Jesus was going to feed the 5,000, which actually were probably 15 to 20,000 people, 5,000 men. When he did that, what did he do before? He paused to give thanks. Why? Because he knew everybody's going to be satisfied. He knew there would be satisfaction. He gave thanks over 5 loaves and 2 fishes for all those people, thousands of people. And he thanked God for 5 loaves and 2 fishes with a crowd of thousands there. You know why? Because he knew everybody is going to be satisfied. Oh, if we would just trust him. If we just trust him today, it'd change your life. It really would. He knew everybody would be satisfied. Psalm 34, verse 19. Keep your place in Psalm 100. Psalm 34, verse 19. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Yeah, but Daniel, he was in the lion's den, and then he was out
with his arms, his hands, his finger. They didn't even sniff his finger. He had all 10 toes. Well, I assume he had 10 toes. There wasn't any chunks taken out of him. Amen. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They did okay. Yeah, they went through the fiery furnace. Yeah, but they walked out. They went in tied with their hands tied. They came out with their hands free because the fire couldn't burn them. But it burned off the ropes. Are you listening to me? Satisfaction. You say, yeah, but I got a disease, or I know I'm going to die. We already know we're all going to die. Bible said that. It's appointed unto man once to die. Doesn't he deliver us from that? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Almost in mockery to death. Oh, death, you can't sting them. You can't sting my people. I took the sting for them. Oh, glory to God. Come on, tell your face to smile. Tell yourself, I got a lot to thank God for. Satisfaction. Amen. Amen. Be thankful unto him. Number 8, because he gives us a song. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. You already knew what I was going to say, right? Psalm 40 and verse 3 says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's what happened when you got saved. Many shall see it and fear. And she'll trust in the Lord. You ever wonder why that unsaved loved one isn't getting saved? Maybe it's because instead of praise, you gripe. You ever wonder why that unsaved co-worker's not getting saved? Maybe because instead of thanking God, you complain about everything. I don't know. It's a new song. Praise the Lord. I thank God for my new song. Yeah, I used to curse and swear and use God's name in vain, and now I praise his name. I used to come up with all kinds of vulgar illustrations and words and stories and all that kind of stuff. And now let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. That's what I talk about now. I remember the first time I preached, I begged him. Oh God, please don't let me cuss. I was so scared. And I learned he put a new song in this old mouth. Glory to God. But it didn't start in my mouth. It started in my heart. When Jesus came into my heart, it's new. It became new. Back in our text, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You don't even have to hit the notes right. It just says, make a joyful noise. You might sing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Brother Stewart says, man, that sounds good. Listen to me, I'm telling you something. It doesn't matter. What's happening here? I'll hear somebody, some old, you know, and we've had it. We've had folks, I'm thinking of somebody right now, and they'll sing, you know, and they're just right here singing, you know, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." They're so happy. And I'll be honest with you, that thrills my soul. It hurts my ears, but it does thrill my soul. You know why? Because it's a song. And he gives us that song. Glory to God. You got something to, you have anything to thank God for today? Amen. Ephesians 5:19. Keep your place. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves. This isn't when you're in front of everybody. It's when you're in the shower, amen? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Oh, that's so good. Amen. Number 9. You say, I bet there's 10. What if there's 20? You're going to miss lunch. No, number 9 is be thankful unto him for the saints. When's the last time you just kind of looked around? You just kind of looked around and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Phyllis. Thank you for Tim. Thank you for Sharon. And you just go around and look around and thank you for Steve back there in the sound booth. And thank you for his dear wife, Jan. And God, thank you for Craig Pearson getting up here and with his very deep voice today, bless God, take your hymnals. And coming anyway, instead of staying home, he came to lead singing, which I don't know how you lead singing when you don't have a voice. I've done it myself. I've sang when I don't have a voice. You say, yeah, pretty much every time. But you know what? Listen to me. I'm telling you something. I just thank God for the people. Thank God for the saints. The Bible says here back in Psalm 100, he says in verse 4, enter into his gates. That's coming to meet, amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then when you get around there, buddy, enter into his courts with praise. Amen, amen. And you've got something. He's right there in the center. It's called happy fellowship with him in the center. Glory to God. Amen. Be thankful unto him for the saints. 1 John 1, verse 7. It says some of you quit turning a long time ago. That's all right. I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, wait a minute, where did I go? How did I get in 2 Peter? I don't know. It says here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you understand? I'd rather be around you than anybody. I'd rather be around God's people than any people. You can take the president and all the cabinet and the drawers and the desks and everything else. I don't care. You know what? I'd rather be around God's people any day. Kings, who needs them? I'd rather be around God's people. Amen. Well, what about the king, LeBron? He sweats too much. I don't want to be around him. I want to be around God's people. Amen. What about a movie star? Don't care about him. I wouldn't mind telling him how to be saved and get him tithe here. Anyway, but listen to me. God's people, God's people, God's people. But a key, you know, one of the keys to verse 7 of 1 John 1 is if we walk in the light. If you're not walking in the light, you probably have problems with people here, with God's people. You have problems, right? Oh, listen to me. Paul said this. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf. I thank my God always on your behalf. I think he went through his list and he said, there's all these different people. There's Priscilla and Aquila, and there's Rufus. Amen, Rufus. Don't you like Rufus? We had a dog named Roof one time. Every time I read about Rufus, I think about Roof. And he says, I thank God for Rufus, and I thank God for Aphia and Priscilla and Aquila and for Barnabas. Even though Barnabas got a little testy that one time, but God, I thank you for him. He's such a good guy. And Timothy, Timothy, what a blessing. Oh, Timothy, he said that. Amen. Amen. Thank God for iron to sharpen iron. Thank God there's people here smarter than me. I'm so glad about that. I love that. Thank God there's some of you don't even know you're smarter than me, but you are. And I come to you and you sharpen me. Thank God. Thank God for folks that are older. Thank God for folks that are younger. Thank God for some that will make us look good, and thank God for some that make us look bad. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, thank God for his saints. Thank God for the comfort they give. Thank God for the exhortation that they give. Pray for us. Oh, thank God for people praying. Thank God for people helping. My wife got her little bag. She has a bag she carries with choir music and all this kind of, all kinds of everything. Who knows what all's in her bag? I say little bag. It's kind of like Donna Pearson's bag. It's luggage. Amen. And they carry these things around. You know, my wife has her bag, and she left church Sunday night and took her bag home, and then we were gone all week long, and she didn't look in her bag or anything. And last night she comes running into the room, and, oh, honey, you're not going to believe this. Guess what? My bag, it was in my bag, and I never looked in my bag. And somebody had put a card in there and was a blessing to her, and she was so excited. And that's just God's people. Amen. And that's how it works with God's people. Oh, I know of so many stories like that. And we bear each other's burdens like Brother Livermore did yesterday. You not only took care of someone's burden, but you took care of my burden, brother. Because it was on my heart. All my notes, all my little cards. Verse 3 of Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep. Can you say, bah? Bah. That's what we all are. We're just all a bunch of sheep. Amen. Even the shepherd is a sheep. Bah. He may say, baw, kind of like Craig, baw. Let me give you the last thing. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name for the second coming. Hey, he's coming. It's a blessed hope, the Bible says. It's not a hope like a hope so. It's a hope like it's happening. Amen. He is coming again. He is coming. We take the Lord's Supper every month. Yes, to remind us that he came. Yes, to remind us that he suffered. Yes, to remind us he was perfect. Yes, to remind us he died on the cross. Yes, it reminds us he was buried in the tomb. Yes, it reminds us that he rose from the grave. But it also says, till he come. And every time I take the Lord's Supper, I always pause a little bit and just stop and think, you're coming. You really are coming. And he's going to wipe away all tears. And we win. And there's no more night. No more dark. No more sorrow. No more pain. All the snow will melt on the roads if we need to get around. My chocolate lake will stay nice and warm. If I want a hot fudge sundae, it'll be nice and cold if I want chocolate pie. Amen. And he'll take care of all that. You say, preacher, you're nuts. Thank you. It'll have nuts too, because a hot fudge sundae with nuts is better than one without. And you know what? He's gonna take away all pain. How many of you have pain right now? Pretty much most of us. There's some pain, and there are some pains. But you know what? There is a cure for cancer, Brother Bailey. You know that, don't you? There really is a cure for cancer. Now, we may not see it on this side, but I guarantee we're going to see it. There is a cure for heart disease. I know right among us, somebody's got some blockage, I'm sure. You know, no, I'm not doing a Benny Hinn on you. It's me. Pray quick. You know, no, I'm just saying somebody, you know, I started to say somebody has a headache. We all, yeah, that's me. You know, we run to the front and, you know, give our $500 and get healed. But, well, Tim, anyway, there's a cure for Alzheimer's. There is. You know what it's called? It's called a new body. And for the believer, that's happening. That is happening. And you know what? There's a cure for sin. It's called no more flesh. And you know what? He's coming. He's coming. You say, boy, did you see what's going on? Belgium. They're gonna. Yeah, I don't live in Belgium. Yeah, amen. But the truth of the matter is, it can anywhere, anytime, any place, it can end. But when it ends, it begins. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Hey, be thankful unto him. Be thankful for the Savior, for salvation, for the Scriptures, for his supply, for service, for strength, for satisfaction, for the song. Be thankful for the saints. And be thankful for the second coming of Christ, because he is coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.